ज्ञातिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनासलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। शिल प्रभुपाद की जाय, शिल गुरुदेव की जाय, गौर भक्तवृंद की जाय, गौ प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। We're reading from Sri Upanishad. Today's last verse. Here's a link if you would like to follow on the web. Agnenaya supataraye yasman vishvani deva vayunani vidvan yoryasma shuharan meno bhuyastam tenam uktim videma. Agni, O my Lord, as powerful as fire, Naya, kindly lead, Supata, by the right path, Raye, for reaching you, Ashman, us, Vishvani, all. Deva, O my Lord, Vayunani, actions, Vidvan, the knower, Yodhi, kindly remove Asmat from us, Dwaranam, all hindrances on the path, Enaha, all vices, Puyisam, most numerous, te unto you. Namaha uktim, words of obeisance, vitema I do. Translation. O my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances, falling on the ground at your feet. O my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you. And since you know all that I have done in the past, please free me from the reactions of my past sins, so that there will be no hindrance to my progress. Right. Purport. By surrendering to the Lord and praying for His causeless mercy, the devotee can progress on the path of complete self-realization. The Lord is addressed as fire because He can burn anything into ashes, including the sins of the surrendered soul. As described in the previous mantras, the real or ultimate aspect of the Absolute is His feature as the personality of Godhead, and His impersonal Brahmajyoti feature is a dazzling covering over His face. Fruit of activities, or the Karmakanda path of self-realization, is the lowest stage in this endeavor. As soon as such activities even slightly deviate from the regulative principles of the Vedas, they are transformed into Vikarma, or acts against the interest of the actor. Such vikarma is enacted by the illusion-living entity simply for sense gratification, and thus such activities become hindrances on the path of self-realization. Self-realization is possible in the human form of life, but not in other forms. There are 8,400,000 species or forms of life, of which the human form qualified by Brahminical culture presents the only chance to obtain knowledge of transcendence. Brahminical culture includes truthfulness, self-control, forbearance, simplicity, full knowledge, and full faith in God. It is not that one simply becomes proud of his high parentage. Just as being born the son of a big man affords one a chance to become a big man, so being born the son of a Brahmin gives one a chance to become a Brahmin. But such a birthright is not everything, for one still has to attain the Brahminical qualifications for himself. As soon as one becomes proud of his birth as the son of a Brahmin and neglects to acquire the qualifications of a real Brahmin, he at once becomes degraded and falls from the path of self-realization. Thus his life's mission as a human being is defeated. In the Bhagavad Gita 6:41-42, we are assured by the Lord that the yoga brastas, or fallen souls from the path of self-realization, are given a chance to rectify themselves by taking birth either in the families of good Brahmins or in the families of rich merchants. Such births afford higher chances for self-realization. If these chances are misused due to illusion, one loses the good opportunity of human life afforded by the Almighty Lord. let's see, what is that? Bhagavad Gita 6:41 is Prapya Punya Kitam Lokan Otsiva Sasvati Samaha Suchinam Srimatam Gehi Yoga Prasto Vijayate. The unsuccessful yogi, after many, many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. At 6:41 and in 6:42, Atava Yoginam Meva Kule Bhavati Dimatam Etad Di Durlabhataram Loke Janma Yad Idrisham. Or if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely very great in wisdom. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. These are the verses from the Bhagavad Gita that Prabhupada is referring to here in his purport. The regulative principles are such that one who follows them is promoted from the platform of fruitive activities to the platform of transcendental knowledge. After many, many lifetimes of cultivating transcendental knowledge, one becomes perfect when he surrenders unto the Lord. This is the general procedure. But one who surrenders at the very beginning, as recommended in this mantra, at once surpasses all preliminary stages simply by adopting the devotional attitude. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:66, the Lord at once takes charge of such surrendered soul and frees him from all the reactions to his sinful activities. 1866 is, of course, Sarva Dharmam, Paritaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Shyami Mahasachar. He takes, he frees us. Moksha Shyami means he frees us from all sinful activities, all reactions. There are many sinful reactions involved in karmakanda activities, whereas in jnanakanda, the path of philosophical development, the number of such sinful activities is smaller. But in devotional service to the Lord, the path of bhakti, there is practically no chance of incurring sinful reactions. One who is a devotee of the Lord attains all the good qualifications of the Lord himself, or to speak of those of a Brahmin. A devotee automatically attains the qualifications of all expert Brahmin, of an expert Brahmin authorized to perform sacrifices, even though the devotee may not have taken his birth in a Brahmin family. Such is the omnipotence of the Lord. He can make a man born in a Brahmin family as degraded as a low-born dog eater, and he can also make a low-born dog eater superior to a qualified Brahmin simply on the strength of devotional service. Since the omnipotent Lord is situated within the heart of everyone, he can give directions to his sincere devotees by which they can attain the right path. Such directions are especially offered to the devotee, even if he desires something else. As far as others are concerned, God gives sanction to the doer only at the risk of the doer. But in the case of a devotee, the Lord directs him in such a way that he never acts wrongly. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, Saparamulam bhajataha priyasya chakyana bhavasya hari pareshaha vikarma yachcho patitam katanch. The Lord is so kind to the devotee who is fully surrendered to his lotus feet that even though the devotee sometimes falls into the entanglement of vikarma, acts against the Vedic directions, the Lord at once rectifies such mistakes from within his heart. This is because the devotees are very dear to the Lord. In this mantra of Sri Isha Upanishad, the devotee prays to the Lord to rectify him from within the heart. To err is human. A conditioned soul is very often apt to commit mistakes, and the only measure to take against such unintentional sins is to give oneself up to the lotus feet of the Lord so that he may guide one to avoid such pitfalls. The Lord takes charge of fully surrendered souls, thus all problems are solved simply by surrendering oneself to the Lord and acting in terms of his directions. Such directions are given to the sincere devotee in two ways. One is by way of the saints, scriptures, and spiritual master, and the other is by way of the Lord himself, who resides within the heart of everyone. Thus, the devotee, fully enlightened with Vedic knowledge, is protected in all respects. Vedic knowledge is transcendental and cannot be understood by mundane educational procedures. One can understand the Vedic mantras only by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master. Yasya deva para bhaktir yata deve tathagaro. If one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, it is to be understood that he has obtained the grace of the Lord. The Lord appears as the spiritual master for the devotee. Thus, the spiritual master, the Vedic injunctions, and the Lord himself from within all guide the devotee in full strength. In this way, there is no chance for a devotee to fall again into the mire of material illusion. The devotee, thus protected all around, is sure to reach the ultimate destination of perfection. The entire process is hinted at in this mantra, and Srimad Bhagavatam explains it further. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is in itself an act of piety. The Lord wants everyone to hear and chant His glories because He is the well-wisher of all living entities. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, one becomes cleansed of all undesirable things, and then one's devotion becomes fixed upon the Lord. At this stage, the devotee acquires the brahminical qualifications, and the effects of the lower modes of nature, passion, and ignorance completely vanish. The devotee becomes fully enlightened by virtue of his devotional service, and thus he comes to know the path of the Lord and the way to attain Him. As all doubts diminish, he becomes a pure devotee. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Upanishad, the knowledge that brings one nearer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. That's Srimad Bhagavatam verse that Prabhupada is giving here. Very nice one. Srinrutam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidyantakshto Yabhadrani Viranoti Saditsutam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. That's 1.2.17 and 1.2.18. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in the classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. And 19, Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kamalo Bharayas Chage Cheta Etarana Vidam Stitam Satve Prasiddhiti. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the state of liberation from all material association. And finally, 1.2.21, Vidyate Hridaya Granthis Chidyante Sarva Samshaya Kshiyante Chashukarmani Krista Evat Manishvare. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. Self means, of course, the Supreme Self. So here in the Bhagavatam, it's given a nice progression, how one progresses gradually in the line of Krishna consciousness, self-realization of Krishna consciousness, simply by the process of hearing, chanting, and rendering service to the devotees. And he summarizes that all in that little paragraph here in the Sri Yasa Parishad. Beautiful process of bhakti yoga. Scientific process. All right. Does anyone have any questions? Maharaj, would you like to make any comments or give us any of your realizations in any subject? Yes?
Hi, sorry about that. I was just having an illness,
you know. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Is that the last verse of Gita Manipa you're reading?
We were reading some of the references that Prabhupada made to the Gita and the Bhagavatam. Maharaj, you can say if you don't want to, it's all right. Also, you weren't there listening to the whole purport. Prabhupada gave it a nice purport here. If you'd like to take some time and read it, others may have some question. They can then, if you'd like to come chime in sometime, you're welcome. Anyone have any question?
If I can, yes. Have something.
Yes, on this verse. On this verse.
How the living entity with Krishna in the Goloka Vrindavan and renders devotional service. And at the end of the quote from Kalyana Kalpataru, Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, which refers to the soul in the spiritual world. So then he say, any soul in whom the desire to enjoy apart from Krishna takes birth will attain a male's nature and enter the world of matter. So this is a clear fallback from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It describes how the jiva is with Krishna and his pastime. So Krishna is the father, mother, or friend, husband, and he say any soul in whom the desire to enjoy apart from Krishna takes birth will attain a male's nature and enter the world of matter. This is what we're talking
about. Yes, we must understand we are not independent. We have free will, but even that it doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. We can't do that, whatever we want. We have the free, we can only desire, but the fulfillment of that desire has to come from Krishna. Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Krishna says it's my material energy. It doesn't act independently of him. And we can't. If Krishna has, just like it is explaining here in this verse, even if the devotee does something wrong and tries to go in a different direction, Lord doesn't allow that for his devotee. Huh? As far, it says here, as far as others are, in the case of a devotee, the Lord directs him in such a way that he never acts wrongly. The Lord is so kind to the devotee who is fully surrendered to his lotus feet, that even though the devotee sometimes falls into the entanglement of the karma against the Vedic corrections, the Lord at once rectifies his mistakes from within his heart. This is because the devotees are very dear to the Lord. So we must understand that even some mistake may occur, some wrong impression may arise. Still, that does not mean that the devotee will have to leave the association of the Lord. It doesn't mean that at all. We have to understand what we are interpreting. It has to be interpreted in light of this.
What you say?
Listen. You have to listen, otherwise just making your own stories up.
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Don't make up your own stories. We have to see in light of the whole scripture, not just a one point of view. We're not interested in making some dogmatic statements. Huh? We have to accept what the scriptures tell us. And here, we know very clearly a devotee is under the protection of the Lord. Now, you can't just ignore what is in the scripture and like that and make up your own story. Maybe, like I'm saying, one may have some desire or another, even he be in the spiritual world, but Krishna won't allow that devotee to leave him so easily. It has to be by the sanction of the Lord. And it's the only way you can get to the material world, by the sanction of the Lord, because he is God. If our will is so strong that whatever we desire, it has to manifest, then what is the use of God? No meaning to God. So we have to understand this. Then those people who are saying that you fall from the spiritual world, they are leaving out Krishna, as if he has no business in the matter. This is ridiculous. We don't accept that. And it's not according to Shastra either. Krishna has to give his sanction. Then only it can happen. And not just by your will. Or your envy or whatever they call it. It's not like that. Cannot be like that. Otherwise you are an atheist. You think atheists can do that. By their will they can do whatever they want. But we don't accept that. We are devotees. And we know we have a very affectionate and loving Lord who is protecting us and is protecting his devotees and has much care for his devotees. And the devotees have much care for him also. Now, this is silliness. And we don't accept this silly interpretation that people are giving without understanding the full import of the Vedas. Certainly, you can have your free will to do whatever you want. But Krishna has to sanction it. That's the entire message.
So if Krishna sanctions that you go to the material world, then you can go.
Then you can. If he sees that is your desire and he doesn't care about you, then he may let you go. That's all.
So there is millions of jivas falling down from the spiritual world in that way.
That's your interpretation,
it's
like I said.
We have that is not my interpretation. There is Vishwana Chakravarti Pak saying the same.
You only want to see one side of the story, after the Jiva's free will. That's not the whole story. That's what I'm saying. That's not the whole story. You have to consider Krishna. Now, I don't want to hear this again because this is very clear. And we should have so much misunderstanding about what the scriptures are preaching to us and what Guru Prabhupada and all the acharyas are preaching to us. Of course, they know. But we don't know. They know, but we are hearing only one side of their story and not listening to the other side. We have to listen to both sides. We can't just take one side of the scripture that we like, that we interpret in our way, and think that we know what is going on. We don't. We have to take the whole scripture and listen to the acharyas, what they're saying in their full expression of what they're saying, not just partial. Hare Krishna. All right, would you like to say anything about that?
Back to the point about the not the least important Vaishnava, and etc. It was very clear, Maharaj. I think you're right on that point. I mean, yes. Krishna's story is Savam Maya Vidhan, isn't it? Krishna's book, the sun, Maya by darkness, the darkness in the truth, the world, and the soul not coming over that instinct. If he was there, so not falling down, It's very careful in the truth, in many ways, in the many references, in many occasions, spoke about that. And sometimes the lady, used to use expression that, when you go back to Krishna and the spiritual world, and this going back, giving the impression that we have been there in that sense, and we're falling down. It means that when the soul comes back and gets to work with the soul, on the being there, the path, you know, the to the soul, and like, one of these ones, how do you been away so long? You know, how could you be separated from you so long? But the soul, the Jesus soul, the Catholic Jesus, comes from the marginal soul, isn't it? That's in the, on the general basis, it's in the soul, in the marginal soul, not in the higher. So it's actually, no, it's not. It's not in the, if the sense from the social place, it's not such a vulnerable place. Oh, you don't actually, you know, ask anything in the spiritual world, doing anything, and mostly the Lord, going back to the spiritual world, and fall down again. What is that? Understand? It's not. It's a material view of it, you know, material understanding of
so it cannot assume the free will of the living entity is all in all. It can't be all in all. It has to be, the will of the Lord has to be involved. And we have to consider that. Once we consider that point, we will understand everything properly. Without Krishna consciousness, then nothing makes sense. This is material vision, that everything is up to my will. I can't think like that. And not to Krishna conscious. Anyhow, a simple solution is there. If anyone would like to think, both sides of the issue, not just one side. So, let us discuss now this.
Prabhupada also said that he doesn't force the living entity to love him.
Of course. But there is an automatic love between devotee and Krishna. That can't be denied. There is a love between devotee and Krishna. It is not a matter of force. It is a question of love. And that's the point that we want to make. Krishna loves his devotee. He won't allow him to. So he's just like devotees may talk with to you or anyone. They have affection for them. And they want to give them the right idea. Give them the right understanding. As much as possible, affectionately, we have to deal with each other. Even chastising devotee, that can't be done with anger or hatred. It has to be done with love also, but chastisement is there. Krishna will somehow or other correct the devotee, whatever way he may find.
All the activities of...
He explained, Prabhupada explained.
The activities of...
Just listen, Prabhupada explained here. There are three ways the Lord has to work with the devotee. Through Guru, through the Shastra, and from Paramatma within his heart. So he doesn't just leave the devotee on his own to do what he wants. He's concerned with him. He's concerned with everyone. Because they're all his parts and parcels. They're all his relations. They're all related to him. One way or another. They're not like us, that we feel a relationship with some and hatred toward others or indifference toward others. No. Even the indifference of a devotee toward us, it has some positive meaning. The devotee is so much concerned about all the entities, how to bring them back to the spiritual platform. Well, it's not on his own interest, but by his surrender to the Lord and serving the Lord's interest, knowing that the Lord's interest is to bring everyone back to their relationship with him. Establish everyone in their relationship. Devotee acts on that basis, not by his own sympathy, because what he can do, but by the mercy of the Lord. Devotee is the sent by the Lord or empowered by the Lord to fulfill his desire, to bring everyone back to Krishna consciousness. It's by his, we can't do it on our own. How much we may wish to bring another living entity to Krishna consciousness, that wish will not be effective by itself. Only if the mercy of the Lord is there, then that living entity may come. So it's not the devotee's will that is effective there.
he may will to serve the Lord. That's all he can do. And then whatever result comes is by the grace of the Lord himself. He has the ultimate say in the matter. And that is always the case. He has the last, the buck stops here, as they say. You know, with the president, when President Roosevelt was taking office, he'd say, he told like that, buck stops here. Everybody has something to say in the government. But the president has to make the ultimate decision. No, it doesn't go beyond that. The buck stops here. So it's Krishna. He has to make the final decision. Not us. And living entity even comes to this material world by his decision. Look at Jai and Vijay. Huh? They have come here. Who? How? By Krishna's decision only. They could decide what they wanted, but Krishna had to fulfill what their desire was. Otherwise, nothing could happen. Otherwise, you're atheist if you think like that. Then.
Hear a few quotes from Bhaktisiddhanta.
No, I don't want to hear any more quotes. I don't want to hear any more quotes.
I am accepting the Acharyas. I just accept the Acharyas.
You know the observance presented here? And we have to listen to
you the just teachings. Reject the quotes. You reject the teachings.
No, I'm not rejecting teaching. I'm saying the teachings are here. We hear it.
And then you reject.
Do you reject that the Lord has his love for devotees? Do you reject that?
Huh? And then you reject the other
saying. I'm not saying I reject that. I'm saying, do you reject that the Lord has love for his devotees? That the Lord has the ultimate
of course,
say?
That refers to the path of bhakti from the material to the spiritual.
Does the Lord have the ultimate say of the living entity? The ultimate say. Who has the ultimate say? Huh? Tell me.
The living entity will decide, not God. There is little...
Don't understand what is God. No, you don't understand what is God. Living entity can desire, but God has to fulfill that desire. Huh? You wait. If it was up to our desire, look. If everything was up to our desire, any man would become a millionaire. Every man would become a millionaire if it was up to our desire. Everyone wants to be a millionaire. But why isn't it that everyone is a millionaire? Because we have our limit, our desire cannot just, is not the ultimate supreme thing in this world. Any world is not the ultimate thing. Otherwise, everyone would be a millionaire. Everybody would have what they want. But they don't. Why? Only those persons who are qualified, they have the sanction of the Lord, and they get it. Now, don't be silly. This is the thing. If we don't understand the whole argument, then we're missing how we can expect to be giving the right interpretation or have the right understanding. I understand. I'm taking both sides. I've listened to both sides. I know. But other people are just listening, wanting to listen to only one side or the other to promote some dogmatic position. By a foolish person because they don't listen to the pure devotee, they don't listen to the acharya, and therefore they're making up their own concoctions.
Then by the acharya speak about fall down. Can you answer that?
Like I told you.
From Krishna.
Everything is up to the Lord. He will provide for that. You want to go? Huh? You want to go to the material? Krishna has to give his sanction. You'll go. Definitely. It's not wrong. You have your free will. Definitely. And you can go anywhere according to the will of the Lord. But this is the part they forget. According to the will of the Lord. This is the part they're forgetting. And that has to be there. That is there. This is the whole meaning of Krishna consciousness. Without that, according to the will of the Lord, then what is the meaning of Krishna consciousness? You're throwing everything out the window. So don't take one side, that's what I'm saying. Well, that side may be there. You have your free will, and you can go to the material world, and it has happened. We've seen that entire time, but by the will of the Lord. Don't forget that. That's what we're saying. Not that what you're saying, or Bhakti Dumpinod, or Bhakti Siddhanta, or anyone is saying, is wrong. What they're saying is right, but you have to listen to all that they're saying, not just one side, just to make your own point, to be victorious in your own idea. No, it's not like that. You have to listen to the entire scripture, the entire message of Gurudev. Then you will understand properly. Never. You say you can forget. Krishna says, Sarvasichaham Ridishani Vishto Matakshvatir Gyanamapohanam Cha. Where do you think forgetfulness is coming from? Do you think you can forget by your own self? No, it's not possible. Remembering and forgetfulness doesn't come by your effort. You look, read the Bhagavad Gita, see what it says. Sarvasyachaham Ridishani Gusto. I'm in everyone's heart. But Taksvatir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness all coming from me. You think it's so easy that everything you want, you get. This is self-centeredness, ego-centeredness, false ego. Hare Krishna. We have to read carefully everything. Don't just read one part to make your dogmatic position known. Because some committee says this is the way it is and everybody has to accept that because the committee said that. This is all nonsense. What does the scripture say? That is our authority. What does the Charya say? That is our authority. And the Charya means who is speaking in so many different things. So many different sides and angles he's giving us. But we have to understand that in its completeness. Otherwise it is only Maya. Anyone can take from the scripture, Brahmanohi Pratistaham. I am the basis of Brahman. But people are thinking Brahman from the reading of the scriptures. Aham Brahmasmi, they're thinking that they are Brahman.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. We will. And but as Srila Gurma said, it is very weak and vulnerable. And it's not supreme. Like Krishna's free will is supreme, it's supreme independent. I think that.
Yeah.
So you have that quality that is very minute, very vulnerable, and very subject to reason and mistakes and all of those things. And so, even the Christians say that, the devil, Satan, they say, he's not independent of God, and he can do his work. How can he only by the sanction of God? Like that.
Some people want to establish the devil as a separate principle, as powerful as God. They think the devil can do whatever he wants. No. Is it that?
The five factors of action. I mentioned there, the place, the view of the person all the time, and the effort, the endeavor, and he said, ultimately, myself, Paramahansa.
Yes.
And there's an airport there.
Yes. So many evidences are there. We have to, but ignoring that is called ignorance. To ignore the evidences that are there, the statements that are there, simply to maintain one's position on a one-sided way, this is ignorance. Ignoring. Ignorance means ignoring. Ignorance doesn't mean stupidity, it means you're ignoring. It's an active process of ignoring what is there. That is what ignorance is. Why are you ignoring? Only listening to one thing and ignoring the other things. That is not the way of coming to the conclusion, proper balanced conclusion, complete knowledge.
There's so much knowledge in them, and coming from different angles, someone here is confusing. So you say, what's that verse in the Mahabharata? Mahajanayena Vipassa Panta.
Ah, yes.
Dharmas, Vigurya Tham, Vinaya, okay, the seed is hidden in the heart of the pure devotee, you know?
Yes.
And this is where you have to go, because even the scripture, you know, like you say, you can take one bit from somewhere, say something, say, hey, I go with that, that's good, that's what I'm thinking, you know?
Yes.
You know, and another bit from somewhere else, so there must be some ultimate
feeling,
of course, mention of the law, but if they're not maybe able to get so deep interiorly, really get the answer within, then of course, I remember going up, you know, Lord, be coming, notice you.
Yes, that is our philosophy. Right? So easy. But that people want to make conflicts. They have to listen to the scripture. They are the authority. And then we will understand everything, all sides from that. Not that any one side is wrong, but by itself it is wrong. Mm. Okay. Seen in the whole of the scriptures are full of contradictions for the conditioned soul who is not ready to surrender to Guru Dev. The scriptures are full of contradictions purposely so that they cannot enter into the understanding of the absolute truth by their own effort. In some place in the scriptures say stool is dirty, don't touch it. In another place will say the cow dung is pure, touch it.
So then, you know, the scripture says, well, I shall run the hunt with come to me and there to know me. So then, if you take that, you say, well, if there's to know Krishna, well, okay, but then where's Krishna? Well, who's the representative of Krishna around here? You have to go there, aren't you? If you understand it.
It should be very clear. These things are not meant to be confusing. But we have to be able to listen to what the scripture, what these injunctions of the scripture, what the message of Guru Dev is. And we'll be easily able to see what is what. Otherwise, if we go on some, dogmatic doctrine, established by who? We have to see who is establishing that doctrine. And what is their qualification to do that? Who can speak against the scripture? No one. Certainly Prabhupada would not do that. Certainly no one would do that. Who is an acharya? He has given the whole message to us, but we are listening to one part and not ignoring the other. And that's what they are doing. We don't accept that kind of process. What's that? Maharaj, I can't hear.
Who was
talking? That is Avadhut Rai. He is Avadhut Rai. Avadhut Rai, he is in France. France, I believe. Netherlands?
Netherlands.
Netherlands. A devotee in Netherlands. Netherlands devotee. I think he's showing he's still there. And he's listening very humbly and accepting, I hope. I hope it is accepted. Mm-hmm. He is a good soul. I always appreciate his company.
That's right.
What's that?
Even looking at each other, like, well, you know, who's going to talk to this person, Maharaj Parikit, you know?
Yes.
And then it was very clear, if they came, you know?
Yes.
He's going to do the answer, you know, Lokahita, you know, that's valuable and relevant to all people at all times, for everything. Yeah.
Yes.
The one answer. You know, and then both in the Bhagavatam, of course.
Everyone can accept that Krishna is supreme. We all devotees accept that. And then how our will can be supreme? Not possible. No, he has to be involved in everything.
And without that sanction from him, nothing will be. What's that?
And I'll also say amen to that.
We can desire anything we want, but it doesn't mean it will be fulfilled. Doesn't mean that. Not at all. Otherwise, everyone would be so happy here. They would have everything they want. And not they wouldn't be happy either. People can get millions of dollars. Are they happy? No. And because they don't know that the real thing they want is Krishna, not dollars.
In personal experience, Maharaj, you know, sometimes I want something quite intensely or want to do something, and then for some reason it doesn't happen or it's blocked, or by circumstances, there's a Lord, of course, behind that. And afterwards you go, oh, that was really good, you know, that didn't happen actually. That really saved me from something.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. And if we just know that our thing, what we think is the thing, is right, it's like a child doesn't even know what it wants.
Yeah.
We think it knows what it wants, but, you know, it's just based on some spurious attraction of the senses or the mind, or, you know, whatever it is. Not very deep. Not very deep, you know.
Yeah.
And you have a deep connection with the Lord. You know, that's going to be the problem. We need to deepen our connection and devotion and surrender, and means a lot of giving, a lot of sacrifice. You know, it's just drifting along. You won't really do much or get much. You know, and it's not great things. People may not see great things. You know, it's not like I have to do great things. I mean, in the sense of, in the worldly sense of making the temples, or, you know, establishing things or doing things, you know, that's good, and that could be one barometer, one symptom of devotion. But it's not devotion. You know, that's where people make the mistake, mixing the material with the spiritual. And so it's a lot of work, you know, we have to choose with ourselves. And it's not a joke, you know, it's not like just put on some clothes, pick up a book and appear to be chanting Hare Krishna, and that's great, you know? It doesn't mean anything, actually. It can be.
All right, thank you very much, Maharaj. We are at our time limit. We have 1 hour. Please come, Harry. Here we are here every Sunday. Please come and talk to us on Sunday. You can give the class. We'll be very happy to hear from your holiness. All right, now, what's that?
Raji, this devotee had a question who works in that way, and it's got a question here. Yeah.
What question?
It's in 8:34 a.m. Raji, you see on the page?
8:34. Skanda Purana? Where is it?
It's above it, I guess.
Above. Oh, the miracle, huh? 8:32. Hare Krishna, I have a question. Not connected with the theme today, but maybe someone can comment, give answer. The question is, at work there is a colleague who, I don't know why, but always trying to say something that would make me feel bad. I haven't done anything better, so I don't know what is the problem. I asked devotees what to do, and one devotee told me that the best thing to do is serve that person. It's the right thing to do. Very nice. Generally, we have to think that whatever is happening to me, it is my fault. Don't blame the environments. You take the blame upon yourself. Not blame, but the responsibility upon yourself. If we can take that attitude, that in my karma, the environment is attacking me, because somehow in the past, in some situation, I was exploiting the environment, and now the environment is coming back to take its tax, its compensation back from me. Nothing, like we are saying, nothing can happen without the will of the Lord. So even something bad is happening to us. If we can see it somehow as the mercy of the Lord, trying to correct my mistakes, whatever mistakes I have made in my past, then we will make the most rapid progress in our spiritual life possible. The most rapid progress will be made, because in that day we are becoming humble and we are becoming purified. As much as you try to resist the environmental attack on you, then you'll have to keep paying. You'll have to pay that price that you haven't failed to pay in that particular situation. Nothing will happen to you if you don't deserve it. It won't happen. You are protected by the Lord, just like Prahlad Maharaj. He was being attacked viciously by his own father. So viciously. In a murderous way, his father was approaching him, but nothing could happen to him. Because he was always thinking of the Lord. So like that. Even someone who's coming to murder us, it can't happen without the sanction of the Lord. Even you want to forget Krishna, that can't happen without his sanction. So what to speak of anything else? That is devotional mood. And if you can serve that person who is attacking you, I'm sure their attitude must change. Not must. May change. We don't know. They may become even more vicious. But ultimately, we have to pay whatever karmic debt we have. That is called karma. And we can't avoid that. Don't try to avoid it. Accept it all as the mercy of the Lord. In fact, the devotee prays, whatever misery I'm experiencing now, I deserve much more. I deserve more than what I am experiencing. But by the mercy of the Lord, because I'm trying to be his devotee, I'm only getting a little of what I actually deserve. And what he feels like that. What I'm getting, it should be much worse. But somehow I'm getting only a little, because my Lord is so kind to me, giving me a little, just so he keeps me on the right path, the humble path, going in the humble direction. If you can take that attitude, then definitely you'll be making the most efficient use of your spiritual progress. And be making the most efficient progress in your spiritual life. Don't fight with the environment. And that would be, try to see how Krishna is there. That will enhance your Krishna consciousness. Development of Krishna consciousness is much more than trying to fight the forces that are imperiling you. That's the idea. If you are sincere in your attempt to become Krishna conscious, then nothing will be able to divert you. You'll never be diverted to why this person is doing this to me. You'll always think, my Lord, why you are doing this to me for my benefit. Always the focus goes to Krishna and not to anything else or anyone else. All right. And yeah, that's everything is we have to say. Everything is being directed by the Lord, and we always try to keep our focus there. That is called Krishna consciousness. Don't turn your attention to other things. All right, we better end now. It's getting late. Everyone has other services to do. My humble dhanavads to all. Everyone likes, if you like, you can say Hare Krishna to one another. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Dhanavad Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Dhanavad Sri Dhani Maharaj.